Hello, fellow watch lovers, nerds, enthusiasts, or however you identify. You're listening to 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast with your hosts, Andrew and my good friend Everett. Here, we talk about watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like. Everett, how are you?
Crushing it.
Just crushing it. You guys didn't see, but that second was actually Everett shotgunning and then subsequently forehead squashing a can.
It's true.
It's true. That's what we do on Tuesday nights.
It's true. doing well. The weather gods reminded us that it's not quite summer. In fact, it's just the fourth day of spring today.
Oh, but it was so perfect. Yesterday, I did a bucket load of yard work. Mm-hmm. I mowed everything. Mm-hmm. I put down a bunch of overseed.
Nice.
I watered it all in and I was like, please rain tomorrow. Please rain tomorrow. And it did.
And it did. Yeah. Yeah. We got, I think we got an inch and a half of rain today. So
yeah,
it's
between the hours of 6 and 7:15 when I was parked outside standing on a track.
I think that puts us only about 100 inches short on the year.
Yeah. Never mind the snowpack we didn't get. It's going to be a bad summer.
It might be. Yeah. It might be. But no, I'm doing well. The Trailblazers, last I checked, were in the 8th spot for the playoffs. March Madness is
in full swing.
In full swing. Yeah.
I think I don't.
Baseball is it's happening. It's right. I mean, we're right there. Baseball's happening. And I don't mean my kids' baseball. I mean Mariners baseball.
Get ready for 74 games a week.
Oh God, I love it so much. I love it so much.
I just can't. I've tried. I like watching baseball and I like following baseball. I just can't get invested into it. I
fired up my office TV today. Just have some baseball on. It's the best.
I tried to watch some basketball over the weekend. And it was all It was just women's college basketball.
Yeah.
Which was really entertaining to watch because that's just not what I was looking to watch. I was hoping to catch a couple early games of men's March Madness and follow my bracket.
I do have a relatively new legal assistant, Jessica, and I had baseball on the TV. Jessica came in and said, I didn't realize that was a TV. Because it's one of those Samsung frame, so It's always just a painting.
Do you think I change the painting 3 times a day? Pay attention.
I don't ever change it. It's always the same. It's this really cool painting of Lake Tahoe. But she was like, that's a television. Yes, it is.
It is, because I own the place. My name's on the sign. Get out.
I say that actually pretty frequently in the office.
You should. If your name is on the sign.
My name's on the door. Did you see the front door when you came in? My name was on it.
I would just routinely remind people of that for no reason. Just walk by there. My name's on the door.
Andrew, watches. What do you got?
I don't have any watch news this week. So I'm wondering if you have anything.
Watch news?
Yeah, anything
a new watch release?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, then let's get it started with, I think, is not going to be a surprise to anyone because this isn't particularly new.
Wait, before you start, I do want to remark on something before we get going. As I sent you the links for today's episode, I was this feels very 2019.
Yes.
This feels very 2019. You were a little bit more diverse with your selections, but I'm Seiko, Citizen, Tissot, Citizen, Doxa.
Yeah.
Christopher Ward.
But even the releases, they didn't feel, they all felt safely familiar.
Yeah.
Right? We'll get to a Citizen that feels like it should have been released in 2020. but is maybe more fitting now in 2026. What I want to talk about right now is the Christopher Ward C63 True GMT, which adds a local jumping hour to the lineup. For those of you who have somehow been living not just under a rock, but under a pile of rocks, perhaps in the wreckage of Pompeii, even the C63 is probably my favorite platform that Christopher Ward has released ever. And they've just upgraded their GMT to a new jumping hour movement. So this is a 40.5 millimeter case, 14.15 thick, a little thick. But I'm actually wearing my C63 today. This wasn't planned. A silver, white, and black dial. The movement, hang on, let's find it, is the Christopher Ward 002, which my guess is the Sellita 200 that they have been using with some modules attached to it to add this jumping hour functionality. It is a COSC certified watch, and I am kind of going to end my excitement there because I don't super dig the way they've done the subdials and kind of open heart, open worked feel at the 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
So we have a 5-day power reserve chronometer certified subdial at the 9 o'clock, a running seconds 6 o'clock, and then kind of it's not a teardrop, nor is it an oval. It's an oval, but it's not, it's like a pointed end oval kind of skeletonization at the 3 o'clock that butts up right up against the date window. It feels kind of bel canto-y. It feels kind of skeleton-y. I think this fits in the realm that the bel canto did, where they're trying to be really haute and do some cool shit. And they just, it doesn't land for me, dog. The rest of it really excites me. I love this new complication that they've added. I love the jumping hour. I do not care for the power reserve indicator.
Is it a jumping hour?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't notice that. I know it's a true GMT.
Or a jumping hour hand. Not a jumping hour. A jumping hour hand.
Got it.
I love all of it, but for the presentation. I love the idea. It's a really lovely watch. There's something amiss, and I think it's in the subdial application and this weird skeletonization at the 3 o'clock that I think is unnecessary and kind of out of character, I think, for Christopher Ward. This feels like, I don't know, it feels like they overcomplicated it in ways that they didn't need to, because something that Christopher Ward has been really good about is their so bear with me here, their restraint, right? The bel canto is not a restrained watch, but they didn't go too far with it. They took it right to the edge of the envelope. It's gorgeous. It's functional. They don't have shit they don't need on the bel canto. As needless as the bel canto is, there's not needless stuff applied to it. There is needless stuff applied to this watch, and it feels a little bit like they maybe left the stable open overnight and ran a little bit wild.
So a couple notes.
Okay.
One, this is the CW02 movement, which is built and based upon the CW001 movement, which is FKA, the SH21, which is Christopher Ward's all Swiss cost certified in-house movement.
Yes.
Designed by, I think it was designed externally, but then they later purchased the company that.
Oh yeah. That I forgot about it. That. Yep.
So,
yep.
It's an in-house, this is a truly in-house movement. So contrary to your prior slander,
it was not slant. Oh, wait, hang on. I did not mention the price. These are $4,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
On rubber and 4,100 money on a bracelet.
Yeah. Look, so that was my next note. So this is, I'm going to push back on something you said, which is that this is sort of out of character for them. I think that this is actually really a really sensical evolution of perhaps not the Bel Canto. The Bel Canto sort of is its own thing, but the C12 Loco, this feels to me like a pretty natural evolution of Christopher Ward's design language. I mean, we have increasingly seen Christopher Ward with its higher end offerings really pushing the limit on pushing the limits of that sort of entry level micro brand, affordable watch brand.
But it all makes sense. Right. What bothers me is the weird open work at the 3 o'clock. I think if that goes away, I'm good with everything else.
And you know, when the Loco came out, when the C12 Loco came out, I had the criticism that, hey, you know, this watch just doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. Like, I don't understand why we're doing this. I don't feel that way about this watch. This watch makes a lot of sense to me. The open work makes sense to me. They've got this beautiful movement, and
I forgot about the Loco. I must have just like obliterated that from my memory. I'm looking at it now and I'm just like, ah,
yeah.
I see the progression here and I don't like it.
With that said, I really think this is excellent. This is going to be true for a lot of watches we talk about today, but I'm struggling to think that I would pay $4,000 for this watch.
Because at the $4,000 price point, you're in really, really heavy competition that I think I like a lot of other watches $4,000 worth.
I really don't like the Unlink. Really don't like it. I like everything else. Aesthetically, I like everything else. They're giving us this, you know, dimension. It's a 14.15 thick, but it's got this hi-hat crystal. Without the crystal, just 9.75. Christopher Ward, this is obviously a light catcher case, so we're going to have watch spanks. I'm sure this is going to work just fine. It is a big watch, but I think it's appropriately sized, especially when you consider that light catcher case. I love the rotor. The rotor looks almost like it's just a sort of a satellite in the middle, but it's got weight towards one side. I actually think the dial on this is terrific. I love the way that they did the 24 hours. I love the way they did the 12 hours. I love the way they've got these sub-dials. Including the power reserve. I'm okay with everything here, Andrew.
It's a well-executed power reserve indicator because it doesn't scream power reserve indicator. It's not a fan. It's not a half moon. It's not something goofy. It's a full sub-dial that when you look at it could be anything except that you know it's a power reserve indicator. And for 5 days, I don't know. This is maybe my first Christopher Ward that I take issues with.
I'm not with you. I actually really like it. I do think the price is a little troublesome. I do think that Endlink is a lot troublesome. But other than that, I like it a lot. They hit for me. I struggle with that price.
I love that it's Cosc. Yeah. It's not Cosc Plus.
In-house Cosc.
Yeah, I love all of that. Mike France says it's a labor of pain, not of love, to get something to production like this. And I couldn't agree more. I love that it exists. The design language of the dial just does not resonate with me in the way that a lot of Christopher Ward does. Most of Christopher Ward, for that matter.
I'll say one other thing. I often think that Christopher Ward misses with color, at least for my own taste. I really like both of these dials. So we've got the silver dial with the like gold or orange accents, And then we've got the black dial with the teal accents. I think they've done a really good job with the color
here. The black and teal is really good.
Yeah. So and so much of this is subjective, Andrew, right?
No, we're objective truth tellers. Like our what we say is canon.
That's true. You're not wrong.
It is the way it is known.
You're 100% right about that, Andrew.
Thank you. I'm aware.
Tiso.
Mm-hmm.
Tiso. Tiso, Tiso, Tiso. Tiso just released a new visit date.
They show did.
And it's sort of an old visit date. So for those of you that got into watches at the same time as me, which is to say 2017-2016 time frame, the Tiso Viso date was one of those watches that was out there, an affordable watch. I mean, I think they came in at anywhere from $500, $800, $700 maybe.
They were a little bit of a lift for a first watch.
That's right. That's right. But they were beautiful and you could find them used. But it was like the type of watch that was always just like right outside of what I wanted. It's kind of a weird watch. That late teens Viso date, I don't know when it came out. So I'm just saying for me, it was late teens is when I discovered that watch. It's got like this dog bowl mid case and it's kind of thick, but not, and really attractive. I'm sure that it made early on lists for us. But you know, I think quietly discontinued a couple years ago, probably for good reason. They've reintroduced the Visidate and it's not that. In fact, they've reintroduced the Visidate and I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, this thing is fucking awesome.
It is hot fire.
39 millimeters, which is in diameter, a slightly slimmer case than the old one. But really it's just a much more delicate watch. More sporty than the old Visidate.
I think is the way to describe this upgrade. It's felt.
What did I say?
It got a glow up.
It did get a glow up. The biggest change here is in the dial. So the old Visidate had sort of this flat, boring dial, something that I'm a fan of often. Here we've got a Piepan dial.
Mm-hmm.
So we traded the intrigue of the dog bowl case, which that sounds bad when I say it. I like that case, the original.
It's a really good case.
To a more sort of typical sport dress.
Kind of has King Seiko-y vibes.
But with this lovely Piepan dial with a really nice rehot and some good dial texture sort of brushed in the middle. Vertically brushed in the middle.
But it's not circularly
brushed outside.
It's just brushing patterns.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not texture. I think it's an important distinction to make.
That's right. A great sort of angular date window on this thing. Man, this is good, Andrew.
Yes.
This is good. So we do have, unsurprisingly, to anybody who's been following along at home, we've got a Powermatic 80 movement in this.
Whoa.
And $850, $950 for the blue and black on the bracelet and $850 for the silver dial with the faux gold accents. Yeah. This is a banger.
Yes.
What up, Tiso?
Welcome back, Visidate.
I'm struggling to find it right now, but did you see the Z dimension on this, Andrew?
It is 10.45.
There you go.
With a big box crystal.
Which so is great.
My guess is it's going to be, I mean, the looking at the profile of it, it's razor thin. It can't be more than 9 thick.
Really lovely chamfers on this. Great bezel, thin bezel, kind of pushed out to the outside. Great crown. Just a very tasteful, very tasteful watch. 50 liters of water resistance. I mean, I realize it's not the same price, but when you compare this to the cocktail time or the Bambino that I think sort of fill this space. It just may be a step down. This for me crushes those watches.
Oh yeah. And this isn't that much more expensive than a cocktail time.
Yeah, certainly not a cocktail time. I mean, it's way more expensive than a Bambino, but
I think if you're like, and we'll get to a King Seiko release here shortly, but I think if that like 60s feel is what you're looking at and you're not ready for the $2,000 King Seiko feel, but you want all the right reliability, all the heritage. Yeah, there's something here. I do have one complaint. I have up an article. It's the photography.
The product photography?
Yeah.
What about it?
One has to think that you're going to clean your crystal before you take photographs of it, and that this isn't shit below the crystal.
What website is that? I don't think that's not a Tissot photograph.
I don't want to call anybody out by name.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just if you're gonna take product photography.
Well, that's not on Tissot. That's on that specific. And you know,
wipe the dial or the crystal. Don't leave it up to our imagination if their QC is terrible and there's a lint trap underneath the crystal.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say unless you really love that silver dial, get this in black or blue on a bracelet.
Oh, the black is where it's at. The blue is really good. It's like a really like gemstone, dark, full blue. I'll leave it to you to actually describe blues because your blue lexicon is much greater than mine. It's Pantone 346 with a little touch of Pantone 0359. Is that accurate?
Let's move it along.
Okay. this is a killer release. Welcome back, Visidate. We're here for the party.
Yeah. Thanks, Visidate. Thanks, Tissot.
Always with the win. I have a fun one. J Press and Bamford London have collaborated on the fun Ivy League. So Bamford London, I'm sure we've talked about some of their watches before. J Press is a very old clothing brand.
Yeah, sort of a trad clothier.
1902. Yep. Famous for their Ivy League influence. A shirt worn by many presidents of these United States. I also own a J Press shirt.
I've got a couple of them.
But it's not high fashion, but a very in...
No, it's trad fashion.
Yeah, yeah, but it has been for 120 years.
Literally.
A cornerstone of fashion have collaborated on a watch that they're calling the Ivy League. They're making 100 of these. The dial, in lieu of markers, has divided the dial up into 12 college pendant triangular shaped triangles. That's the word I'm looking for. With
pennants.
What did I say?
Pendants.
That's different. Pennants bearing the number of the hour that you're in. They're alternating colors. They're fun. They're only making 100 of these.
You will not be surprised at the colors when you look at this thing.
Nope, they will all make sense because they correspond to Ivy League schools. 39 millimeter case, 10.5 thick with a titanium case, which is brushed and polished, 100 meters of water resistance, Sleeta SW300 movement, a NATO-like strap, just you know, playing with fire there. $1,600, and I think these are just like a fun, colorful release that you'll never see in the wild. That I don't know. I think this is one of my more favorite fashion brand collaborations.
This feels to me like one of the douchiest watches ever released.
And he decided that after I said it was one of my more favorite ones.
Not at all. No, I specifically didn't put this on my list today.
I was like,
the motherfucker that wears this is insufferable.
Probably.
More so even than me.
But we're both insufferable. That's why we get along.
It's cool, Andrew. I do like it. I almost put it on my list, and I was like,
titanium case.
I hate the guy that wears this. I'm sure of it.
Oh, definitely.
I fucking hate that guy.
Definitely. But I like the watch. It's like I like a lot of Panerai's. Every time I meet somebody who's wearing one, I'm like, shocker.
Jack Mason.
You.
Jack Mason. Jack Mason, a brand that I have been increasingly high on.
I think everyone's increasingly high on. And Jack Mason is getting increasingly high on Jack Mason.
Yeah, yeah. Jack Mason has introduced, not yet released, and I'll get back to that. They've introduced a new skin diver that they're calling the Palmera skin diver, representing a classic compressor style skin diver watch. Just to be clear, this is not a super compressor, but it is in the compressor style, which is to say twin stick. It's a 39 millimeter, 47 millimeter lug to lug at 10.8 thick with 200 meters of water resistance. Now, I've said it before and I'll say it again, but if you can get me thinner with 100 or 150, I would say do it. They made choices. Mr. Mason made some choices here. 10.8 is fine. It is great. We've got an internal dive time bezel controlled via the crown at 2 o'clock. We've got different crown markings with Jack Mason North Star on the 4 o'clock, and then a lovely sort of arrow indication, a turning arrow, which it's cool. On the 2 o'clock, this comes on a choice of either FKM rubber tropic style or a 7-link bracelet. Presently, you can choose.
I see a 3-link picture too. Is that just what they have?
I don't
have?
Know. I don't know that it comes on the 3-link. There is a picture of this watch on a 3-link. But I think your choices are FKM or 7-link.
So I think they have it on the 3-link for the pickleball picture because we can just throw that out of the way. Throw away pickleball, throw away the 3-link because the 7-link is fire.
We've got great Lumabrite all around, a really great internal bezel that curves, and it's got a big chunk of Lumicast on it. Here's the interesting bit. Oh, excuse me. LJPG 101 movement in it, which, you know, is a movement that I'm personally high on. Here's the interesting bit. So they're selling this in a way that is slightly different than I think I've ever seen a company introduce a new watch.
Did you say the price?
I will get to that.
Okay.
So just hold that thought for a moment.
That's gone.
They are releasing this through what they're calling the Born and Raised program. And what that means is that they've got a funding threshold. So this is sort of a mix between a pre-order system and a crowdfunding system,
mm-hmm.
But it's completely internal. It's the deal is you can right now for $1,049 at a significant discount, a $300 discount from retail, pre-order this. The founder's window opened until April 3rd. They need to get to 150 pieces. When I checked the website earlier, there were like 66 pieces. So I don't know if they're going to make it or not. If they don't make it, you'll get your money back. You will get your money back. Watches are tough right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Watches are tough right now, and $1,000 twin stick skin diver is always going to be a tough watch. If they get to 200, they will have a third model that I think has got some options that people can pick from.
Yes, there's the, what are they calling it? They're calling it the,
shoot, like the dealer's choice or something.
No, so they're calling it the, oh my gosh. Community color.
Yeah.
So if they achieve that threshold, they will also make a third option available, which is a really cool, like, loom green with blue internal rotating bezel.
So this morning at 9 a.m., they updated. So on day three, they have 66 units reserved, which means that they're a little less than halfway to their funding goal. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. They are intending after April 4th to turn these around in 3 months, which I think is a good timeline.
Yeah, for having just prototypes in.
120 days, so 4 months.
That's not a terrible turn.
Nope, especially when you consider that you're getting a pretty big discount. Yeah, anyway, this is a cool watch. It's a cool watch. I think Jack Mason's done a good job with it. I like the dimensions. I like the watch itself. Interesting model too. They're the first ones I've seen do this specific model. So we'll see how this works.
No, I mean, we've seen pre-orders before.
Yeah, but this is a little different than a pre-order. It's like a crowdsourced pre-order, an internally crowdsourced pre-order model.
That's what most pre-orders are though.
A little different.
I hope it works for them because I would like to see Jack Mason continuing to ride their wave of success and not have something flop on them, because though they would, I think, very easily be able to recover from it, I'd like to see them continue with their success, because they've turned such a big corner, going from like a primarily quartz fashion brand to not. And I think they are finding themselves in a little bit of a precarious position to not carry that momentum.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
King Seiko, three new Vanek models in full titanium. I don't really understand what the color deep black is as opposed to just black. Apparently it's got great depth. So this is
what I do know is, once you go deep black, you never go back.
I think you're stuck there, kind of like a black hole.
Do you know what VANAC, what the acronym is?
Please enlighten me.
Vibrant, active, novel, alternative, comfortable.
Hmm.
Isn't that like the worst thing you've ever heard in your life?
Maybe it's more.
It makes me uncomfortable to know that that's true.
I think maybe it's more poetic in Japanese.
It's in English.
Just let's hope that it's Seiko, man. What do you want? Their naming conventions and storytelling is terrible.
All right, tell us about the watch, Andrew.
So this is a full titanium, 41 millimeter case. It's 14.3 thick, 45 lug to lug, 100 meters of water resistance with a big old fat sapphire flat on it. Like, I just wish Seiko could get their sizing right.
It's got the 8L 45 movement.
It does have the 8L.
That's a 6 millimeter movement.
The black and the silver are amazing. The purple is also really good. It's not for me, but this black, even with it being a big old chunk, I love. I have yet to meet a King Seiko that I'm not high on. $4,000 though, which is King Seiko money. But the three new colors work.
Yeah, three new colors, and really the most important bit of this release is they're
all and titanium. The 8L, and all titanium.
Yeah.
Running an 8L.
I think the VANEC has always, I think this is just the steel VANEC case, but rendered in titanium.
I think the dimensions are the same. I didn't cross-check that.
Yeah.
I like the VANEC watch, though, and I think in titanium, this is going to, even for being thick as it is going to be killer. The angles on this thing are what I want. It's not for
it's
you.
It's on
huh?
my list. I had it on my list to talk about, but I didn't put it on my list to talk about because I love it. I put it on my list to talk about because I was like, interesting.
It does it for me, dude. It is
a big old chunky 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
King Seiko, yeah.
It's scratching the itch right now.
Materials are really nice. I'm sure that the I'm sure that the fit and finish on this is absolutely nuts.
And if $4,000 though, and I think it's another one of those, like, I like other watches $4,000 worth way ahead of where I like this, but I also can't balk at the price. Like, that it makes sense.
Yeah,
it's just, I think my $4,000 goes elsewhere where it also makes sense, and I like the watch more dollars worth.
Well, since we're at it, let's talk about another set of Seikos released this last week, which are the new Marine Master Divers.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say last year, Seiko updated their Marine Master, and it was sort of like... well, they fixed some of the problems with that release, I think, which is to say they released a new sort of catalog Marine Master with a polished ceramic bezel, 8L movement, and the upgraded clasp. They're also releasing this with a limited edition. I want to say the acronym is JAMSTEC, but it's the Japan Agency for Marine Earth Science and Technology.
Also very close to James Stacy.
Which is interesting because James Stacy wrote this.
Yeah.
So again, 8L series movements, 300 meter water resistance, which is not a shock to anybody who's been following the Marine Master.
You know what they could have done? They should have just dumped it like 100 meters. Like, just go full Seiko on this.
The JAMSTEC is limited to 1,000 pieces. It is a blue, really interesting dial, sort of teal to dark blue to teal gradient, and a polished blue bezel. It's beautiful, actually really beautiful watch. This is not something I'd normally go for, but the way they've rendered this is very cool. It sort of gives like a bit of a polar vibe.
What's that crystal you crack into that looks like a rock on the outside and you
like a crack geode? It open?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a bit of
kind of has that geode knot. Like, there's no symmetry to any of this pattern. It's all very random, but all consistent.
So if you don't know, Adel is a sort of a pared down Grand Seiko 9L movement, slightly less well finished, slightly less well timed, but still pretty good. Minus five plus 10 seconds per day. We've got all sorts of Seiko proprietary metals in there. And these are 3,600 for the standard black, 3,900 for the JAMSTEC. You get the upgraded clasp on this, which is fantastic. I'm okay with this release. The SLA 079, I think you can still get it for about $3,000 or just a little bit less than that. This is better in just about every single way. For $700 more, this feels to me like a good evolution for this watch.
Yes, this is a good iteration on the Marine Master that we've seen them kind of playing with for the last 7 years.
Yeah.
And it seems like they finally narrowed it down. They've gotten focused on where they want that Marine Master line to go.
Yeah.
And they're following that path. And each iteration that we're seeing now, because we saw one last year that was good, this is good and improved. And every time, what I hope we don't see is that these improvements also keep pushing it further and further up market to, yeah, like in 2 years, the Marine Master is going to be sitting at $7,500. And we're like, well, you know, they've done this. And
well, and of course, this isn't, when I think of a Marine Master, I think of the monoblock cases. This is a little slightly different than that, but I think they've done a good job with this. I don't mind the price given what you're getting. I like this a lot better than I like that Van Eck.
Agreed.
I think that this is a really interesting dive watch. Just to talk about dimensions, it is a 42.5 millimeter watch, 14.1 thick, which is, you know, what you would expect, I think, for this watch, especially given that it's got that 8045 movement in it, which is, again, a 6 millimeter movement, just the movement. So, yeah, these are going to be available in July with the Jamstack version being limited to 1,000 pieces.
All right. So, Citizen, the new Photon celebrating 50 years of EcoDrive technology. And I've said it here before, and I think I'll say it again. I think EcoDrive is like one of the coolest movements ever created. The technology to be able to harness solar power in a watch and run a quartz movement is pretty phenomenal and cool as shit. So we have two versions of the Photon that look straight out of 1995, maybe 1985.
These feel super modern to me.
But they look like what you would imagine 2026 looks like. Hmm. But I think they nailed it. Right? They're these, how many sides are these? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? 3, 6, 8. So octagonal.
Oh.
We have octagonal cases. There's two colorways.
Octagonal-ish.
Yeah, they're octagonally round. They're like familiar, but not. Kind of, they're Citizen is what they are. Right, Citizen always has, they're just a little bit different, and usually it's not for the good. I think these are a little bit different for the good. Two colorways, one in all steel with a black and kind of gradient to blue-purple center dial, heavily textured. And then another DLC black and gold with, this is the dial that I love, man. It's that same heavily textured, almost like looking through a fan grate.
Yeah.
Over a concentric gold and blue circle dial. And this thing is cool. Super titanium case, 12-month power reserve on a full charge, plus or minus 15 seconds a month. So to the size, these are going to be big. And this is where they citizened it up. These are 39.6 millimeter cases. I think the case shape is going to make it feel really big.
When they're 9.9 thick, I'm not sure, Andrew. I think these are going to wear. I think these are going to wear very flat.
I hope they wear flat. So super titanium in both, a DLC. They're calling it amber, yellow, and black. 50 meters of water resistance, full super titanium bracelets on these. And here's kind of where I was surprised. $1,000 for the steel, $1,200 for the DLC. I was expecting Citizen to go stupid on this and these be like $2,000-ish dollar watches.
They easily could be.
They could be. They're only making 5,000 pieces of each of the colorways. They're going to be available this fall. This is a killer anniversary.
And under $1,000. We're right at $1,000 for these.
Yes, this is a killer anniversary watch. It has all the like kind of postmodern feel, really, really like just reasonable Citizen design language in it. And from what I can tell, just looking on the product photos and the spec sheet, there's not a clear miss here. And usually when you are dealing with Citizen, there's like that one little guy that you just can't ignore. I don't see the little guy that you shouldn't worry about with this. I think they knocked this out of the park.
Yeah, I think these are great. I mean, I think that you're getting
a really interestingly designed watch. You were explaining the dial, and the entire time I was thinking, he's not doing it justice, but I couldn't figure out how to improve on that. It's really interesting. It's this dual layered dial, like sort of radiator. Anyway, you just got to look at it. I think this feels to me like it's got some Moser vibe with that bracelet.
It kind of has,
but without being like annoyingly
yeah
derivative. I really, really like this. I think it's terrific. It wouldn't be an episode of 40 and 20 if we didn't criticize it. The crown is too small.
But that's not that little guy that you need to worry about.
Crown is too small, but yeah. I mean, when are you ever going to use the crown on it anyway? So
never. You will set it one time, and as long as it gets a little bit of light over the course of a year, it's going to keep running.
And I love that they've got all these proprietary coatings too. You know, it's their proprietary titanium alloy. It's their proprietary Duratec titanium coatings. I think this is a really cool watch.
And for those of you who haven't bought EcoDrive in a while, I have. They are continuing to iterate and improve upon EcoDrive technology. I have a 2016 EcoDrive and a 2023 EcoDrive. The 2016 does not really catch charge when not in a window. So if I want to keep it running, I have to leave it in the windowsill, which is fine. I have a window near, like I have a window in my room and I live in a closet, and it just sits in that windowsill. The newer EcoDrive, which I fucking dropped the other day, cracked the crystal, and I'm not sure if it compromised the water resistance. And I cut the shit out of my finger with it. I like, you know, you drop a watch, you run your finger around the crystal, like, ah, what have I done? And that shard of crystal that cracked free embedded itself in me. I had to dig it out. But that will charge in just the ambient light in a room. And this article is saying that...
Well, this is their newest, the EO36.
The newest is now saying that, like, even artificial light is going to give it enough to juice it.
Yeah, these things are super efficient.
And on a full charge, it's going to run a year. So if you wear this watch once a year out of doors during the day, you're going to recharge it to full capacity. I stand by. I think EcoDrive is just one of the coolest movement technologies on the planet. And I think citizens' efforts behind it are maybe misplaced. I think they should just use EcoDrive rather than push EcoDrive.
Yeah.
Like Grand Seiko, it's just a spring drive. Like that's our movement. I think if citizen used that and then focused more on their design of housing the EcoDrive rather than be like, it's EcoDrive, it's EcoDrive, it's EcoDrive, I think they'd find a lot more success.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
they could stop doing weird shit and pushing it as EcoDrive and just like do really cool shit.
I mean, this is weird too, though.
This isn't, I don't know.
It's fucking weird.
It gives me kind of like Rado-y vibes too.
Yeah.
I really like both of these. I immediately releases.
Thought Moser when I saw it.
I really like both of these. This black and gold.
The two-tone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, that little splash of blue in the dial that it like. You can't quite see where the blue is coming from, but it's there. Super good.
Squale.
Ooh-hoo. We said it right.
Squale. We did say it right.
Squale.
Squale introduced a handful of years ago its sub-39 platform, which they've now sort of pushed as sort of their flagship. As an evolution of that... They have released this week the Sub 37 Legend. And I read about this watch and I was very, very interested. And I got less interested, but I decided to talk about it anyway because I think Squale is a really intriguing brand. Obviously a very old company, a company that's made... mid cases for a very long time for some big heavy hitters. This is a company that really has a lot of history and I think is sort of figuring out maybe slowly how to be a brand in the 21st century. But they're doing it and they've released a new watch that I find pretty intriguing, which is to say a 37 millimeter dive watch that is not a sub homage or whatever. When I think of Squale, that was certainly my first impression of Squale was we make submariners.
Because they have,
and they do.
But I think they're one of the brands that can and perhaps should.
Yeah, it does feel that way. Yeah, I'm with you. This is actually just a really cool 37 millimeter sort of classic feeling dive watch. Really sort of obviously based on 1960s dive watches. We do have some old radium lume, which gives it a decidedly faux-teined look. In addition to that, we've got sort of amber letters on the bezel that's underneath a glass, you know, giving it sort of a bakelite impression.
Numerals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sort of glass box crystal. 300 meters of water resistance, double Squale logos on the dial, which is a lot. This has got a lot. It's a very small dial, and it's got a lot on it.
But it's not a lot because it's the same thing a couple times.
Yeah, that's right.
I think you only need one logo, not four.
Yeah. So I was reading a little bit about this. So they've got their standard word mark, the Squale word mark, but then they've got their shark. Their Squale shark.
And that's what that is.
Squale shark is a logo that they used in particular back in the 60s and 70s for their mid-case manufacturer. And so I think that they've included this to represent that they're making their own watches. So there's a historical thing here. This comes on a Bonetto strap, which is sort of the cream of the crop, Italian vulcanized rubber. It's flared around the lugs. This is a really classic Bonetto strap. This is where I kind of take a little pause. These are priced at $1,750.
With an SW200.
With an SW200, that's right.
I mean, I know it costs what it costs, right? And Squale, typically, when we look at their watches, the price makes sense.
Does this make sense?
This one doesn't. This one, I'm wondering if the pricing is reflective of geopolitical things.
Maybe,
right now,
yeah. This feels to me like a $1,000 watch all day.
A
$1,200 watch.
I think sub $1,500.
$1,750. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Squale. Who the fuck? What?
I think this is a function of our globalized economies right now, less so than it is the watch.
I was pretty taken aback when
I
saw that.
I think it's probably 30% higher to absorb some stuff.
Yeah.
But everything else I love.
Really cool.
Watch. The sapphire bezel insert, it reflects that amber in the bezel in a really, really satisfying way that just warms up. Like, I would have never thought that I would describe black dial, black bezel as warm. And this is just a really warm, soft color palette for this watch that is really pleasing. The shark logo and the 12. I'm glad you said that was a shark. because that's not what I thought that it was. What
did you think it was?
This is not appropriate. This is a family show, Everett.
Okay.
And that's right where I went.
What's next?
I think when we look at our time,
we're at 55 minutes.
You know what? Nothing else really has me that excited.
There's nothing else on your list that has me excited either. So
shocker. And we exhausted your list after our first one.
Not true. I guess that's a good enough time to call it. Andrew, other things, what do you got? Right.
Oh, I didn't prepare another thing.
Yes, you did.
I always prepare another thing.
You liar.
So I talked about having an air fryer, I don't know, a year or two ago when I got one. And I use it pretty regularly. I have a new favorite thing for the air fryer. Like 3 months ago, I was at the grocery store and I have this stupid thing where I have to walk through every aisle of the grocery store when I go. I can't just go get a thing, which sucks, especially if you're in a hurry. You can shake your head all you want. I just can't. I can't not walk through an aisle. Even if I know I don't need anything in that aisle, I don't even look, I just walk through it. I'm in the frozen food section in the patatas with the potatoes because I needed French fries. And I'm walking towards my French fries. I know where they are. And I stopped because there was somebody obstructing the aisle. And I look over and I can't believe this was news to me. I saw sleeves of hash brown patties, like pre-pattied up, ready to go, whole sleeve of them. And I was like, oh, that would be really nice for breakfasts. So, and for those of you who have young kids, for some reason, public school starts so fucking early. So it's like wake up, mad dash, feed, pack, scramble out the door. I don't know if you don't have that experience anymore.
The school that you take your kids to
is 2 minutes away.
Serves breakfast.
They do, but they don't like it.
Okay, well, I told my kids, fuck off. You're eating it.
Anyway, we have to make our kids breakfast in the morning. I got these hash brown patties, 10 minutes in the air fryer, and they are McDonald's quality hash browns.
Love that.
They are fantastic. I looked at the ingredients because I was like, there's got to be something in these. They're pre-salted. They're pre-oiled. So you just throw those things in the air fryer. They, like, as they melt, they crisp up, like, as the ice melts because they come right out of the freezer. 10 minutes in the air fryer at 400 degrees. They come out magically crispy on an English muffin with a fried egg. Oh, my gosh. I cannot believe that I am just now becoming aware of pre-made hash brown patties. That's my other thing. If you have an air fryer and you're not doing this, welcome to the next phase of your life.
Yeah, it's great.
They're amazing.
I do love air fryer hash brown patties.
We're kind of an ingredient house, so like we don't have a lot of stuff like that, but man.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. Yeah,
it's amazing.
One of my favorite things. Yeah, well, amazing. I'm glad that you're enjoying that.
I love it. So hash brown patties. Next time you walk through the freezer aisle on your way to get Arby's curly fries or seasoned potato wedges, grab you a sleeve of hash brown patties because they are the truth.
A couple different things on my list that could have been other things this week, but ultimately there was really just one thing it could be. Because I bought a new multi-tool this week, Andrew, and...
Oh, I didn't realize that was new. That's why it's stiff.
You know, you've known me long enough, Andrew, and perhaps you at home have also known me long enough to know this was not...
18 years I've known you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Man, that's a long time.
We could date our relationship now.
Yeah, this was not an easy purchase for me, which is not to say it was particularly hard. In fact, it's sort of enjoyable for me to go through this process. But an interesting thing happened, Andrew, something I did not expect. The last time I purchased a multi-tool was in 2008, which was the year I met you, I guess.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time on that purchase. And I, at the time, spent what I thought was kind of an absurd amount of money. I don't know how much it was. I think probably $100-ish dollars.
And I'd be a kid again where $100 was...
Yeah, it was a big purchase. Mm-hmm. It was a big purchase. And I bought a Leatherman Wave. I bought a Leatherman Wave. And I really loved that tool. And I bought that. I bought that based on sort of a compilation of reviews. You know, this is sort of olden days, right? As YouTube was kind of a new thing, and
it hit the forums.
That's right, hitting the forums, and ultimately decided on the Leatherman Wave, and it was a great tool. And I lost that thing. I lost that thing in the desert at Fort Ortwin. And which was a sad day. I think that was 2016 or so. And I've just not bought a multi-tool again. I don't have a lot of use for a multi-tool, but recently I've picked up a couple hobbies, and I wanted to have a multi-tool. I didn't know, nobody needs to, but I thought, you know,
you kind of need to. It's a multi-tool.
This is really a time I'm doing these things where I really would like to have a multi-tool. So I, doing what I do, went back. I hit the forums. I hit YouTube. I hit reviews and articles. And an interesting thing happened, Andrew.
You did it again.
I landed on the same tool.
Brittany got you.
I landed on the same tool. I purchased, not exactly the same tool, I purchased a Leatherman Wave Plus, which is, I almost resisted that because I thought, you know, 18 years later, this cannot still be the best option for me. And at the end of the day, I decided, you know, it was. Now, Leatherman makes higher end tools than this. They make their Arc, which is sort of their bee's knees magna cut tool. They do have a newer version of the Wave that has G10 grips and a magna cut blade, but then
you're moving out of like a handheld multi-tool and into like a power tool sized thing.
Well, similar sizes. I also tried other manufacturers. I held other manufacturers, particularly SOG and Gerber. Both sell some really interesting. Did not like the form factor.
Because multi-tools have kind of gone out of fashion in the last 5 to 10 years.
Ultimately, I just bought the same fucking tool. A couple differences, right? This is the Plus. So it's got replaceable screwdrivers. It's got compatibility with Leatherman's bit set, not included. But I could,
which is cool. That's a really cool functionality.
Their little bit driver set is really great. It's proprietary. It's a proprietary hex, which is
annoying,
a little annoying, but also I understand why they do it.
You have to build an ecosystem. Yeah.
The other difference is I got the oxide version this time. My prior version was stainless, and
you still lost it in the desert. You couldn't just shine a light at night.
I know. I went with the oxide version, and I'm glad I did. This is a very rugged feeling tool, and as soon as I got it into my hands, I was like, you know what? I just love this thing. I've been just playing with it. I've just been carrying it around and playing with it.
You got to break that thing in. It's really stiff.
It is stiff. The black oxide, Leatherman's black oxide, is notoriously stiff, and this is no different. So I'm going to play with this thing and love it and use it, you know, made in the USA. Oh, that was one of my, one of the big benefits. I really love that this is made in the USA. Not that I'm like America, USA, USA, but I do like that they're, you know, supporting and doing local manufacturing. That was one of my big things, was made in the USA. It's super affordable. The multi-tool game is weird right now. You know, everything's $100.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really like $80 to $100. This is in there. $120. You can pay a lot more than this for a multi-tool in 2026. So
Yeah, that's my other thing for the week. Leatherman Wave Plus is my new multi-tool, which is the same multi-tool that I chose 18 years ago. I just thought that was the weirdest thing. It's kind of a surprise for me, I felt like.
You know,
what are the odds?
But the multi-tool game is kind of cornered, right? Everyone makes a multi-tool, but not everyone makes a good multi-tool. Gerber, SOG, Leatherman are the only brands.
Victorinox. Yeah.
I know they make them. Yeah. I put them in, I don't class them the same.
Sure. Fair enough.
Because everyone makes a multi-tool. Like, but those three brands kind of have the corner. Like, I wouldn't put Columbia River Knife and Tool even in the category. And I know they make multi-tools. Gerber, SOG, Leatherman. Those are the people that do it. And the reason that people don't call them multi-tools, they're like, hey, let me see your Leatherman.
Yeah.
Is because Leatherman does it maybe the best. Yeah. And I think you just have to find the one that you like the best. Like I have a Leatherman multi-tool that I'm okay with, but my two preferred multi-tools are not Leatherman made. They're SOG and Gerber.
This head is just, I think, the exact right tool setup for me. This doesn't have really anything that I didn't want. You know, every other tool I looked at, it had things I didn't want. This has two blades. We've got a serrated blade and just a flat blade.
Yeah, just a drop point.
It's got a saw, which is a pretty effective saw. And it's got a file, a double-sided file. I thought, you know, I like all of those. Those are all useful. Inside, it's got...
The back of the file is for striking flint, isn't it?
I don't know, Andrew. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
I think that's why it's so gnarled.
Obviously, pliers. We've got a screwdriver with that aforementioned proprietary hex set. So right now, it's got both a flathead and a Phillips head. And then a can opener, bottle opener. And then the other side has scissors. Who doesn't want scissors? A micro screwdriver, flat and Phillips. And then a pair of scissors. Oh, what did I already say? Scissors. And then a big flathead screwdriver, aka a pry bar. I was like, yeah, I like, this doesn't have anything I don't want. Every other tool I looked at, I was like, I don't even really know what that is. That tool, I don't even really know what it does. This does not have anything like that. I was like, this is the best multi-tool.
It's up
for
there.
Me at least.
Mm-hmm. It's certainly up there.
For me at least. So yeah, 18 years later, I went with the same thing I bought 18 years ago, and I don't feel bad about it at all. In fact, I got it and I was like, really glad I have this back.
Look at you.
Replaceable wire cutters on the pliers, lifetime warranted, break something, send it in, they'll fix it.
Look at that.
Andrew, anything you want to add before we move it along for the day?
Let's do it.
Hey folks, thanks for joining us for this episode of 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast. Do me a favor, go to our website, watchclicker.com. That's where we post articles and reviews and pictures. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that at 40and20_watchclicker or just at watchclicker. That's where we post posts
stuff.
And pictures about things we're doing on the website or things we're doing here on the podcast. If you want to support the Watch Clicker pod project, you can do that at patreon.com/40and20. That is how we get all of the money we need to keep this going. And it's kind of a lot of money. Hosting fees in 2026 are a lot. Patreon.com/40and20. Just go check it out. And don't forget to tune back in next Tuesday for another hour of watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like.
Bye-bye.